On this night, the 15th of Nisan, the major mitzvah, all the mitzvahs perhaps are around that mitzvah, the central mitzvah, is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I'd like to get a hold, a grasp on what is exactly the nature of that mitzvah. So what I'd like to do with you now is read carefully the Rambam in Perek Zion, Mihilchas Chametz U'Matzah. The Rambam dedicates this entire chapter to the mitzvahs of Leil HaPesach and primarily to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam says the following. First we start with Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah, Lesaper B'Nisim V'Niflos Shenasu Lavosenu B'Mitzrayim B'Leil Chamisha Sar B'Nisan. So the Rambam certainly counts this as a mitzvah d'oraisa amongst the mitzvos. And then he writes B'Leil Chamisha Sar B'Nisan. I honestly don't know what the Rambam has in mind. Just want to say Shalom Aleichem to Aaron here. It's Dallas, Texas. Wow, this is... Now, one way of interpreting this Rambam, B'Leil Chamisha Sar B'Nisan, is that the Rambam is telling you, when is this mitzvah? You know, you might confuse this mitzvah with the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which applies the entire year round. So the Rambam says, I want you to know, we're designating a special mitzvah for this night that you should fulfill on Leil Chamisha Sar B'Nisan. But there's another way of reading this Rambam. The Rambam says that this is a mitzvah to be Mesaper B'Nisim V'Niflos. Which Nisim V'Niflos? And the answer is, Shenasu Lavosenu B'Mitzrayim B'Leil Chamisha Sar B'Nisan. The Rambam is qualifying which Nisim V'Niflos are we commanded to talk about. And it's only the Nisim V'Niflos that took place on the night of Tesvav B'Nisan, which would mean, primarily, of all the Makos, it would be the last of the Eser Makos, and that would be Makas Bechoros. Now, Dayenu, and an entire section of the Agada describes a whole bunch of Nisim that took place on other days. And 9 out of the 10 Makos took place before the 15th of Nisan. The Rambam seems to assume, in his definition of this mitzvah, L'saper b'nisan u'flo shenasu b'leil chamisha sar, that we exclude all those stories and descriptions about the great miracles that took place leading up to Makas Bechoros. That's not part of the mitzvah. Unless the Rambam simply means, as we said at the outset, B'Leil Chamisha Sar B'Nisan, meaning that's the time of the mitzvah. He's only defining the time of the mitzvah. He's not describing the scope of the mitzvah, which miracles and which great wonders are included in this mitzvah. So I don't know. To me, this is a very ambiguous Rambam. If you open up the Rambam, you'll tell me what you think the Rambam has in mind. In any event, after defining the mitzvah, he quotes a pasuk, a source for this mitzvah, Shenemar, Zochar, Es Hayom Hazeh Shayatzasem Mitzrayim. Remember the day on which you left Mitzrayim. And here all the Mefarshim are wondering, is this really the source of the mitzvah of Sipur? We assume the mitzvah of Sipur is derived from Vigadat Olabincha. The Rambam derives from a different pasuk, Zochar Es Hayom Hazeh, which seems to indicate that there's a mitzvah to remember this day the whole year round. And if the pasuk doesn't indicate, and if the Rambam wants to prove that this is a special mitzvah that applies on the night of the 15th, he has us wondering, what has he actually proven from this pasuk? Zochar Sayom Hazeh Sheyatzasi Mitzrayim. We should remember that day. When should we remember that day? The whole year round we should remember that day. But perhaps the Rambam, in the next phrase, addresses this question by implication. He says, "Kemoshe Nemar." The Rambam has like a hekesh here. Zocheres Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho. Now, there's a mitzvah to remember the Shabbos. When is that mitzvah fulfilled? If this mitzvah of Zocheres Yom HaShabbos is the mitzvah of Kiddush, then obviously we fulfill that mitzvah on the day of Shabbos. Perhaps even twice during the day of Shabbos. So the Rambam wants to tell you that whenever it says Es Hayom, what the Torah means is to remember that day on that day. So remember the Shabbos on the day of Shabbos with the mitzvah of Kiddush. Remember the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim on the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which means on the 15th of Nisan. Then the Rambam reminds himself that there's another source for the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. Uminayin Shebelel Chamishasar. Now all of a sudden the Rambam asks the question, can I prove to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is limited to the night of Pesach? He may have already proven that textually from the analogy to Zocheres Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho, but now the Rambam is looking for a much more explicit proof that this mitzvah is unique to the night of the 15th. Talmud Lomar V'gadatol Bincha B'Yom Ahu Lemar B'Avur Zeh. And what's the Bavur Zeh? What does Zeh mean? We point to something. So that now we see clearly that this mitzvah applies on the night of Matzu Morar, and that's Leil Tesvav. Now the Rambam says, how do you fulfill this mitzvah? Do you need a son? And you have to tell him the story? Says the Rambam, V'afal Pishen Lo Ben. He has no son. He still has a mitzvah to fulfill. And again, this makes sense in the light of the fact that the Rambam finds the main source for this mitzvah in Zocheres Yom HaZeh, which is not in any way addressing the children. The Rambam only quotes the pasuk V'gadatol Bincha sort of through the back door to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this mitzvah of Zocheres Yom HaZeh applies exclusively to the night of Pesach. But the real main primary source is the pasuk Zocheres Hayom HaZeh. And there the Torah doesn't mention a word about Ben. So Afal Pishein Lo Ben. Now the Rambam addresses another question. Is there a mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim for someone who's such a great scholar that he knows everything about Yetzias Mitzrayim? There's no chidushim here for him. He's just reviewing what he already knows. Says the Rambam, afilu chachomim gedolim. And they know the entire story and all the details of Yetzias Mitzrayim, chayovim l'saper b'Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah is not yediya to learn and to reveal to yourself those miracles, but rather l'saper. L'saper means to talk about them. V'chol ha-marech, the Rambam makes another point, if he's marech b'dvarim, and he gives you a lengthy description. Bidvarim she'iru vishahayu, things that occurred, maybe the word vishahayu, what does that add to the word she'iru? Perhaps the Rambam means to add the reasons why, the causes of these events. You should not only have in your mind a review of all the events, but to see the flow and the sort of development of the events. Is hareza mishubach, then he certainly enhances his mitzvah. So let's just summarize 3 points in the Rambam here in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph of Hilchas Chametz Matzah. Point number one, the Rambam classifies the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim as one of the Tayag mitzvahs. L'saper b'nisim v'niflos. We're not sure which nisim v'niflos. Perhaps the nisim v'niflos that took place on that night, beginning with the great miracle of Makas Bechoros, or maybe all the Nisim Niflos that ultimately led up to Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's point number one. The Rambam derives this mitzvah from the Pasuk Zocheres Yom HaZeh Sheyetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam now is perplexed. Who says that Pasuk is referring to the night of Tesvav? And the Rambam perhaps brings two proofs. One is more of a textual diuk in the pasuk. The pasuk says hayom, and hayom means on the day, not just about the day, but on the day, as we see in the midst of kiddush zochres yom haShabbos, which means to recite kiddush on that day. The Rambam brings a second proof that this mitzvah applies on the night of Tesvav as a unique mitzvah from Vigadah to Lebincha, and it's Bishash Yesh Matzu Mor Munachu Lefenecha. Then the Rambam goes on to tell us that the mitzvah is Sipur, whether he has a son or he doesn't have a son, whether he's a Chacham or he's not a Chacham, he's obligated to be Mesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the more lengthy he is, the greater it is. Harezeh Meshubach, he enhances his mitzvah. It always fascinated me that this language of the Rambam, Kol Amarech Bidvarim, etc., Harezeh Meshubach, is identical, word for word, to another Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva describes the mitzvah of Vidui. He gives you the bare bones of Vidui, of confession, and then he says, V'kol Amarech Harezeh Meshubach. So I asked my father, Zichron Levracha, is there any possible connection here between the mitzvah Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim on Leil Tesvav and the mitzvah Vidui in the context of Tshuva that applies the whole year round whenever you do Tshuva and you recite Vidui? So here's what my father answered to me. He said he thinks there's a tremendous connection, and it's not just coincidental that the Rambam employs the same language in both contexts. What is the mitzvah of Kol Amarech? The answer is that when a person wants to achieve an emotional state of being, it's not enough that by rote he just recites verses and that's it. The idea of being Marech means to put yourself into an emotional frenzy in order to make an impact on your soul. So instead of just being Yotzei with a standard kind of text, the Rambam wants you to go beyond. And we'll see in the Haggadah that the Tanoim got together in Bnei Brak, and they were Marech, B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, these Chachom Gedolim, through the entire night. That's called a Marech. Why? Because the ultimate mitzvah of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Rambam codifies in Halacha Vav, five halachas later in this chapter, and the Rambam says, "Keilu hu atzmo yatza mishibud Mitzrayim." Imagine, the halacha requires him to reach the state, an emotional state in which he feels that he himself was redeemed from Mitzrayim. For that, he needs to be marech l'saper. It's not enough just to read perfunctorily a pre-prepared text. The Arichas Dvarim puts him into an emotional frenzy, an emotional state in which he experiences the Geula. So my father said the same thing applies to Tshuva and Vidui. There's one standard text of Vidui, Anachtu Vavoseinu Chatanu, but that doesn't bring you to an emotional state that's going to have an impact on your soul. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that the ultimate tshuva is that you'll never return to do that sin again. You have to work yourself up to an emotional frenzy. And the more you're marech in that vidui, the more you pour your heart out, the more you purify yourself in front of Hashem, the greater is the mitzvah of tshuva. Now the Rambam in Halacha Beis, let's continue. Mitzvah lodia labonim. There's a mitzvah to notify his children, to transmit the sipur to his children. V'afilu lo sha'olo, even if they didn't come up on their own initiative with the question, maybe their curiosity is a little bit dull. Shenemar v'igadito l'bincha. V'igadito means that you should take the initiative and transmit this to your son, even if he doesn't ask you the question. Now the Rambam establishes a very, very important halacha in Vigadat al-Bincha. Lefi daito shel ben aviv melamdo. According to the understanding of the son, no two children are exactly the same. This is what we call chanoch l'nar al-pi darko. The father has to teach ketzad. Im hoya katan, he's got a young child. O tipesh, or he's a little bit dull. Omerlo, he should say to him, Bini, My son, kulanu ayinu avadim kmo shifcha zeh, zu o kmo evit zeh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. So you have to be what we call in modern Hebrew lamchish, hamchasha. You have to show them some sort of a physical, tangible personification of avdus. Look at that evid. Look at that shivcha. Not everyone has an evid and a shivcha in their home. So I don't know exactly how the Rambam purports for us to fulfill this mitzvah. If his son was either older and more mature, or he was young but precocious, modia, then he doesn't have to point to any evident shivcha and give it flesh and bones, but just to notify him, Ashiira lanu b'Mitzrayim, what happened to us in Egypt, hanisim shenasu lanu, and all the miracles that were brought about al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. Interesting. The Rambam mentions Moshe Rabbeinu in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which the Rambam has at the end of Hilchas Chametz Matzah. He doesn't mention Moshe Rabbeinu even once. But then he says, Hakol lefi daito shel ben. So the transmission should be relative to the intelligence level of the son. Then the Rambam goes on and says, V'tzarech la'asol shinui b'layla zeh. He should do some things that are unusual, kidei sheyiru abonu v'yishalu, in order to stimulate the curiosity of the children, v'yomru, so that hopefully they will come forward with the questions, manishtana laila zeh mikol elos, and then he gives them the answer. The Rambam also gives us recommendations as to how to perform these shinuyim and keep the curiosity of the children piqued. He says, machalik lem kloyos vegozim, you know, give them out nuts and kinds of bran, different kinds of bran that they sweeten. Anyway, he gives them sweets. The okrim ashulcha milfneim kodesh yochel, and all of a sudden they take away the table before they eat the meal. Chotfim matzah zemizeh. This is probably our source for the children stealing the matzah. The Rambam doesn't have the children stealing the matzah. One person grabs the matzah from someone else. V'chayotzi b'dvar melu. The Rambam encourages originality. And then all of a sudden, the Rambam goes back to ask a question. What happens if he has no son? Ain lo ben? Do we give up on the question and answer, which is so critical? No. Ishto sho'aloso. Let his wife ask the manishtana. Ain lo isha? If there's no woman at the table, sholim zela zeh. Each person asks the next one, manishtana laila zeh. And afilu kulanu chachamim. The Rambam says we should still engage in a question and answer session, even if we know the answers. Hu levado? Even if he's alone at the Seder table, and I'm sure that this year there'll be a lot of people alone at the Seder table, unless we get a miracle really soon. Is Sho Eliatzmo? He should even ask himself, Manishtana Halayla Zeh. So here we have three halachas in the Rambam, and let's just summarize them. In Halacha Aleph, I wrote myself a summary here, the Rambam codifies the source for the mitzvah of Sipur, Zachar Sayom Ezeh Sheyetzasim Mimitzrayim. And when is the time for this mitzvah? B'leil Tesvav, and he proves it from the Pasuk, V'gadat L'bincha B'yom U'leimar Bavur Zeh. Okay, now he's derived the mitzvah, he's derived and circumscribe the Zman for the mitzvah, which he derives from Vigadat L'Bincha. You would think that maybe the mitzvah, if it's derived from Vigadat L'Bincha, is Dafka to be Mesapel Ibno. If he has no son, he's not Mechuyiv in the mitzvah. The Rambam emphasizes, no, this obligation is independent of his having a son, is Afal Pishein Lo Ben. The Rambam wants to define the Chovas HaMitzvah. The mitzvah is not just knowing the miracles, but rather being mesaper the miracles, even he's a chacham gadol, and he knows the miracles, he still has a chiyuv to be mesaper. And when does this mitzvah terminate? What's the shir? Every mitzvah has a termination. You eat a kazayis matzah, you finished. Here there's no termination of the mitzvah. Elakol amarech lesaper. He enhances his chiyuv mitzvah. It's an open-ended mitzvah. That's halacha aleph. Halacha beis, the Rambam continues to define the mitzvah. He tells us that this sipur is not just telling the story, but it's learning. It's a process of education. And that he derives from the pasuk, Vigadot L'Bincha. Vigadot L'Bincha is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, And the father has to teach his son, because the Torah says, Vishinantam Livanecha, the father is obligated to teach his son Torah, and on this night he has to teach his son a specific area of Torah, and that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, does the son have to ask questions? The Rambam says that's not a precondition, even if the son doesn't answer the questions. And the mitzvah of Igadata obligates him even if there's no there's no question asked by the son. If the mitzvah is Talmud Torah, then the Rambam says it has to be tailor-made for the level and the understanding of that individual son. There's no uniform form for this mitzvah, and therefore the Rambam says, Lefi daito shel ben aviv melamdo. If he has a ben katan or tipesh, he can't teach him in abstract terms, in terms of ideas and concepts, but rather he has to give him, as we said before, tzura muchashit, something really tangible, and he points here and he points there. If his son is a gadol v'chacham, then he teaches him all the details, all the concepts, the entire development of the history of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the causes, the results of those causes, the impact, so that the son has a complete understanding in depth of the golus, the shibud, and the ultimate geula. That's halacha beis. Halacha gimel, the Rambam adds, that there's an additional dimension to this mitzvah of Sipur. It should be in a question and answer form. And therefore we should do unusual things to stimulate the curiosity of our children. If he doesn't have a son, then his wife should ask him the questions. And it seems that this is an essential part, an integral part of the mitzvah, and fulfilling this obligation of Sipur, that it should be b'derech she'ela u'tshuva. Even if he's alone, the Rambam says, he should be asking himself the questions.
Rabbi, I have a question.
Please.
Does this mean that if there are children and adults at your Seder, that you should focus more on the children?
I don't.
They seem to be the priority?
I don't get that impression. Again, there may be overriding reasons in any particular scenario why you might give preference to the children. For example, let's say there are more children, or let's say the adults are able to read various commentaries on their own. But fundamentally, I don't get that impression. The Rambam is saying that if he has a ben, a son who's a chacham v'gadol, imagine his son comes back from yeshiva and he's been studying at the footsteps of who knows which Rosh Yeshiva, and he's a mature young man, he may be advanced in years, he's a chacham, maybe he's even younger, but he has this wisdom. Is that's also included of in v'gadol binchas? I don't know that we have to tip the scale in favor of Bino HaKotan or HaTipesh. But again, as I say, there may be overriding factors in every single situation and every scenario. But in any event, it seems from the Rambam that the way to fulfill this mitzvah, and here I'm taking a little bit of opposition to the Maharal Miprag, who claims, those who were with me yesterday, that the mitzvah of Sipur is just a matter of Macheves Halev, just a matter of thought. The Rambam seems to put the emphasis here not just on thought, but also on Amira. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Amira? And the Rambam goes into great detail. It's got to be Derech Shaila Tshuva, has to be Bon Dia Lasan, Lefi Daito Shel Ben. All these are halachas in the transmission of the Torah. And just like in Talmud Torah itself, which is sort of like the Av mitzvah, the overriding mitzvah that this Sipur is a tolda, requires amira. You know, you have to learn the Torah by reading the Torah and transmitting the Torah orally. The same thing seems to apply in the Rambam's frame of reference to the mitzvah of Sipur. And that's vigadita. Vigadita means hagada. Hagada means a chovas amira. And I'd like to bring a proof to this Rambam, if we're reading the Rambam and interpreting it correctly, from a Gemara at the end of Masecht Pesachim. The Gemara there speaks about a blind person, and the Gemara wants to know, is he allowed to read the Haggadah on behalf of the other people sitting at the table? And the suffix is, with regard to the din of Shomea Keone, if the Suma, the blind person, is obligated in this mitzvah, then through Shemaya Ka'one, he could read the Haggadah, and the others will be Yotze by listening, and that's called Shemaya Ka'one. However, if we assume that the mitzvah is just Machsheves HaLev, then what difference does it make if the Suma reads the Haggadah? The mitzvah is not the Kriya and the Shemaya Ka'one. The mitzvah is just an Amira, which is meant to awaken the feelings in your heart. There's no reason why a Suma should be excluded. And the Gemara actually vacillates back and forth whether or not we can allow the Suma to read the Haggadah on our behalf. Ayin Shom, you'll take a look at the Sugya and see the Maskana of the Sugya. And perhaps the Suma is obligated to the mitzvah of Higadetah because others can point to the matzah, even though he can't point to the matzah. So that's the sugya over there, Psochim. But the Gemara seems to assume, without a shadow of a doubt, that you need a Dibra and Amira, and you need Shomea Kona for the listeners to be Yotze. Why do I need that whole structure? Why do I have to require Shomea Kona if the mitzvah is defined as Machsheves HaLev? But truth be told, although this is, I think, a riot to the Raman Akasha on the Maral, we should really ask this question to the Sefer HaChinuch, the Ra'ah HaLevi. He was one of the Rishonim. And he codifies the mitzvah Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim and mitzvah Chaf Aleph. And he writes the following. He says, Chayav Lahotzias Advarim Bipiv. So far it sounds like the Rambam, that you have to formulate in words, verbally, the Haggadah. But then he writes, Kidei, she is Oreo Libo B'dover. Why do we require an Amira B'peh, Lahotzias Hadvar B'piv, in order to be Ma'orez Lev, Ki Dibur Ma'orez Alev. This is a famous principle in Sefer HaChinuch. He quotes it in many different mitzvahs, that when the Torah requires this Ores Alev, there's always going to be a push and a recommendation for Amira. Because Amira, when you speak something out, it has an impact on the lev. But it would seem from the Sefer HaChinuch that the mitzvah is belev. And Otsas HaDibur is only a technicality, it's only a conduit or a means to an end of being Ma'ores HaLev. So I don't know why the Gemara has to go through a whole pilpul about the status of a Suma, whether he can read the Haggadah on our behalf. If we're listening to his reading, that's going to be Ma'or the Lev. I don't see why it has to be that the Suma is obligated in the mitzvah. I don't know. In any event, I would like to ask a different question. If the Rambam is of the opinion that there is a din of an Amira, a requirement of Amira, and we seem to have derived that proof to the Rambam from the case of Suma, then what is the Kiyum HaMitzvah? I should be listening to one person who reads the Megillah, reads the Haggadah, or would the Rambam prefer that each individual sitting at the Haggadah should recite the Haggadah for himself? And the Rambam, not here in Perek Zion, but if you fast forward to Perek Ches, over and over again, the Rambam talks about the Kore Es Haggadah, the reader, and where we put the Simonim, and who dips the matzah, and so forth and so on. It's always the Kore Es Haggadah. The impression you get is that the Rambam had in mind that one person reads the Haggadah on behalf of everyone else. Which means if the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah of Amira, then we should, lechatchila, if all things are ideal, we should employ the principle of Shomea Ka'one. Like, for example, in Megillah, one person reads the Megillah, and we all fulfill our mitzvah by hearing the Kore. That's called Shomea Ka'one. The Rambam seems to advocate the same Shomea Ka'one in the case of Kriyas HaMegillah, Kriyas HaHaggadah, like Kriyas HaMegillah. And I'm tempted to think that maybe the Rambam is employing the principle called Barov Am Hadras Melech. Barov Am Hadras Melech doesn't mean when you gather together an entire mass, a congregation of people, and each one does the recitation simultaneously, synchronized. No. Shomea Ka'one means when you have one person reading on behalf of everyone. That's the Kiyum of Berov HaMadras Melech. And perhaps, again, this is all very tenuous, you'll think about it. And if you don't like it, you'll send me some sort of a note that, Rabbi, I'm not impressed with your pshat. That according to the Rambam, just like in Kriyas HaMegillah, there's a mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes to publicize the miracle. We want to integrate all the people into one maisa, one action of Kriya. And that is Berovam Hadras Melech. It expands the glory of God because we are publicizing the miracle as one action, one Kriya on behalf of everyone. So too the Rambam holds that reciting the Haggadah is a kiyum of Pirsum HaNes. We are publicizing the miracle. And if in Megillah, Pirsum HaNes requires Berov Am, that there should be one Kore, maybe the Rambam holds that Berov Am applies to the mitzvah of Haggadah as well, because that is a kiyum of Pirsum HaNes.
Rabbi, the Haggadah is done in the usually in the confines of a room and could be a small room, but it's how do you have Pirsumei HaNes when you're among yourselves and you're not really publicizing it to people outside?
It's the same as Ner Chanukah. Now, originally, in the ideal takana of Ner Chanukah, you lit the candles outside. Right. And that's what we're familiar with here in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
But the Gemara says that Meiniach al Shulchan of Adayo, at one point they enacted a mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah at home. And the Yerushalmi is famous for quoting Bar Kappara, one of the Tanoim. And what he used to do is he would gather all his family members together and we would read the Megillah in front of his family members. So we see, interesting, that both in the case of Ner Chanukah and in the case of Megillah, we have a pirsum for the Bnei HaMishpacha. Tosus actually vacillates. If a person comes home late and he wants to light Ner Chanukah and his children or other members of his household have fallen asleep, should he wake them up in order to publicize the miracle? But you see one thing clearly, that pirsum HaNes applies even to the members of your household. The Pnei Yoshua goes even a step further. He's famous for saying that a Suma who cannot see the Ner Chanukah, even he has to be mefarsim the Nes to himself. And that's fascinating, that you can have a pirsum to yourself. But my conjecture is that the Rambam requires pirsum in the case of Haggadah to the members of his family. And how does the Rambam, in what method does the Rambam employ to clinch, to fulfill that mitzvah? Pirsum, it's the Kore. It's one individual who's reading the Haggadah on behalf of all of his family members. Now let me just summarize, before we go on, in the Rambam, the sequence in these three halachos at the beginning of Perek Zayin Milchus Chametz Matzah. The Rambam, as we said before, begins with defining the mitzvah, the obligation, the source, its time period, and how you fulfill it. But there's something a little bit strange about these three halachos and the way, you know, the Rambam is very sensitive to his sequence, to his presentation, and Seder HaDvarim. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam writes, Mitzvah la'av, lo'dia le'ben, and lefidaito shel ben, aviv malamdo. So the Rambam tells us in Halacha Beis that the mitzvah sipur is to transmit the sipur to his son. And it's subjective depending upon the intelligence, etc., of the ben. Then in Halacha Gimel, he writes that we need shelo tshuva, that it should be in a question and answer form. Isn't the Rambam, to some extent, changing the sequence? I would have anticipated that this halacha of Habanim Shalim should come before this statement in Halacha Beis, Aviv Modia Leben. Why? Because sequentially, first, the son is meant to ask his questions, and the Rambam should have told me, how do I stimulate the curiosity of the child with a shinui, etc.? And after the son asks his questions, then mitzvah lo di al haben. Why does the Rambam mention she'ela u'tshuva in halacha gimel after he's already started in halacha beis to define the mitzvah as lo di al haben? Lo di al haben is something that comes after the question. So the Rambam, in a sense, was mahapech the seder. He should have started with halacha gimel and discussed the she'elo tshuva, how important it is, how critical it is, how to achieve that goal that the son should ask his question. And then, how do you answer that question? Well, that's the mitzvah lo di al haben, and lefi daito shel ben, you should gauge your answer to fit the particulars of that son. So that was my question. I was bothered by the Seder HaDvarim in the Rambam. Why the Rambam delays the presentation of Shelo Tshuva until Halacha Gimel. L'chor, that should have come before Halacha Beis is Modia, when the Rambam says Mitzvah Ala Av Lodia Leben. But perhaps, in the light of that discussion, maybe we can answer this question. The Rambam is very, very meticulous about the sequence in which he presents his halachas. In halach aleph, the Rambam defines the mitzvah and quotes the source for the mitzvah, the zman of the mitzvah, and proves that. Now, once he derived the mitzvah from vigata to labincha, now the Rambam goes into a chakira. He's got two roads that diverge in the yellow wood. He can either say that the mitzvah is vigadat l'bincha, and it only applies if he has a ben. That means that the whole mitzvah is contingent on the fact that he has a ben, because the Rambam has already introduced the pasuk of vigadat l'bincha in halacha aleph to prove, to establish that the mitzvah is a unique mitzvah to this night, bavur zeh b'shah, etc. Now the Rambam asks himself, well, wait a minute, if we're deriving this mana mitzvah from vigadat l'bincha, so the Rambam asks himself the following question, maybe this obligation is contingent on the fact that he has a son, vigadat l'bincha. If there's no ben, there's no chiyuv. So now the Rambam says, no, even though he doesn't have a ben, he has a chiyuv. The Rambam is now defining the nature of the chiyuv. Immediately, the Rambam defines that chova, and he says, don't think, again, just like you may have made a mistake, that the mitzvah is contingent on having a ben, because it says v'gadol to mincha, you may make another mistake. And that is that the mitzvah is to learn the nisim, to reveal them, to yodeas ha-nisim, and the Rambam says, no, you're missing the whole point. The chiyuv, the obligation, is sipur ha-nisim, and even if we're chachamim gedolim, we still have the mitzvah. And the mitzvah of sipur means keep telling the story more and more with greater detail. Ko amarech hareza mishubach. And that's halacha beis. In halacha beis, the Rambam defines the mitzvah. It's not contingent on the fact that he has a son, and it's not contingent on the fact that he is learning something new. The Rambam says that the mitzvah is not contingent on having a son, and it's not contingent on the fact that you're learning for the first time around this mitzvah. Now the Rambam in Halacha Beis adds another element to defining the mitzvah. And he says the following. The mitzvah is essentially a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now the Rambam in Halacha Gimel asks the following question. Well, if it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then maybe we should wait until the child asks a question. If the child has no curiosity, the Rambam says no. The chiyuv of the mitzvah in Talmud Torah is to teach and transmit Torah whether or not the child or the student asks the question. The father is obligated in the mitzvah vigadato even if his son doesn't ask him any questions. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah includes even situations where the son doesn't ask any question. And says the Rambam, in the context of fulfilling this mitzvah of transmitting the Torah, even if the son doesn't ask, the Rambam says transmit the Torah in a very subjective way, chanoch lenar al pi darko. And therefore the Rambam says, lefi daito shel ben aviv melamdo. And that was the difference between the katan, the tipesh, and the chacham gadol. Now the Rambam gets to halacha gimel. And the Rambam adds another element to the equation. And this is already secondary. The Rambam has defined the nature of the chiyuv. But now the Rambam wants to tell us, by the way, there is another dimension to the mitzvah, and that is tzuras shelo tshuva. You should work hard to achieve this embellishment of the mitzvah, that it should be a sipur b'tzuras she'ela u'tshuva, and therefore you stand on your head to stimulate the curiosity of the children and hope that they will ask questions. And if they don't ask the questions, then maybe your wife will ask the question, maybe your friend will ask the question, maybe you'll ask the question. That's an embellishment of the mitzvah. But the essence of the chiyuv of the mitzvah is not contingent on tzuras she'elo tshuva. And if the Rambam deliberately leaves out halacha gimel until he's completed in halacha beis all of the requirements and the regulations of this chiyuv ha-mitzvah, what is absolutely critical in fulfilling this mitzvah, and she'elo tshuva is left out of halacha beis, because she'elo tshuva is not critical to this mitzvah. The mitzvah is Talmud Torah, which applies even if there's no question that the child asks. Lefi daito shel ben, Talmud Torah requires that you give not a uniform answer, but a subjective answer. And that is the Rambam in halacha beis. Halacha gimel is already, shall we call it, a topping, an icing on the cake. Okay, we're about to get up to halacha dalet, but I promised you yesterday that I wanted to perhaps share some illumination on parts of the Haggadah. So I'd like to live up to that promise. So let me just, I have a very limited amount of space here on my desk. Let me just get a drink if I can. Would you happen to have a tea for me? Aaron, Tara is on. Mikey Sapnicki is on. Yeah. Okay. Now I have in front of me a sefer, which I hope you're familiar with. It's called Hare Kedem. And this is volume number 2. Hare Kedem, volume 2, which is dedicated exclusively to the holiday of Pesach. And the book is divided up into parts. The first section, which is, I would say, half of the book is dedicated to various sugyas in Masechet Pesachim. Then he has a long section about the night of the Haggadah and the various mitzvahs of this night and how to fulfill them. And then he has a section in which he goes through various parts of the Haggadah. And the truth is that if we had the time, it would be fascinating to go through every single piece here. He's got about, I would guess, maybe 40 pieces of insights into the Haggadah. And each one is a gem. I'm going to share with you some of my favorites. Now, keep in mind that the Rambam tells us, based on a mission at the end of Pesachim, that within the framework of this mitzvah, we have to darshan the parsha of Arami Oved Avi. And there are long discussions as to why this is required on this night. But leaving that on the side, I want to focus on a few parts of this drasha. It says, Vayered Mitzrayma, Onas Al Pi Adibur. It says, Then Melamed Shelo Yorad Yaakov Avinu Lishtakeh B'Mitzrayim. It says, Vayi Shom L'Goy, Melamed Shelo Yisrael Mitzuyonim Sham. And then it says, Vanitzak El Hashem Elokeinu, Kmo Shenemar Vayehi Bayom Harav Mahem. Whole discussion about Za'aka, that our forefathers cried out to Hashem. Let's see if we can touch on at least some of these elements. Vayehi Sham L'Goy, there in Mitzrayim, Melamed Shehayu Yisrael Mitzuyanim Sham. The drasha, as the Rav points out, is based on the word legoy. Vayehi sham legoy. Otherwise, how do we darshan melamed shehayu mitzuyanim sham? Just because it says legoy, I mean, has legoy, it mean, I mean, vayehi sham legoy, what's mitzuyanim? And apparently, and he quotes various sources, Machzor Vitri, Avudraham, they all derive from the word legoy, that melamed shehayu Yisrael mitzuyanim sham. In one of the Sidurim from Rav Yaakov Emden that dates back about 5 centuries, he has a slightly different girsa of vayehi sham legoy gadol melamed shehayu Yisrael mitzuyanim sham. So that makes a lot of sense, that gadol means they became a great nation sham. The pasuk says vayehi sham legoy gadol. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests that the true interpretation of Shehayu Yisrael Mitzuyanim Sham is what we call Tziyun, Mitzuyanim. Tziyun, the Rav points out, is, I guess in English we'd call it a marker. Like, for example, if you go to an area which is designated for as a burial site, so we put up what's called a tziyun kever, and that's a marker to warn the kohanim that they shouldn't come too close. So anyway, tziyun is a marker; it's a distinguishing mark. And in Mitzrayim, the Jewish people became an uma bifnei atzma; they became a distinguished uma. That you can see the difference between this Ummah and other nations. And that's called godless. What is a gadol? You know, we talk about the word gadol till it's coming out of our ears. And my friend who passed away, unfortunately, Rav Nosson Kamenetsky, wrote a book, The Making of a Gadol. So what is a gadol? What does that word gadol mean when we talk about a giant? When we talk about the people of Israel as being a goy gadol? And he says the following. The Gemara Bava Metzia talks about a concept called Katan Hasamuch Al Shulchan Aviv, which means one of his children who's so young that he's totally dependent upon his father financially. A Gadol, says the Gemara Bava Metzia Yud Beis, is a son who is independent financially of his father. Which means that he can support himself. He has the wherewithal to support himself. Maybe he takes a job and he brings in his wages. He's called a gadol in the language of the Gemara in Bava Metzia. It's actually a diuk in the Mishnah in Bava Metzia. So what does the word gadol mean? Gadol means that he's not dependent on others, he's independent. Independence, says Rav Soloveitchik, means you don't imitate others. You're original. That's a gadol. He says that at a bris, the blessing that we give to the child is Zeh Katan Gadol Yeh. Right now he's a katan. And obviously, he's dependent upon his parents who raise him. But gadol yeh means he's going to be independent. He'll be a gadol. He'll be original. He will not try to copy others. So the definition of godless, in the case of Klal Yisrael, means they're no longer influenced by the ways of the world, the mores and the social ethics and value system of the world. They have their own original derech of defining what's right. and what's wrong. That's a gadol. A gadol is different. He's not a cookie cutter, you know, he's not something that imitates, like in your manufacturer, you know, it comes out of the oven and everything looks the same. That's not a gadol. A gadol is different. He's unique. He has his own way of thinking. Now we understand what the word Goy means. The word Goy, which we translate loosely as a nation, Al-Pi Loshen HaKodesh, means Gvia. I mean, you just add the hey. The root of the word Gvia, which means the countenance, is Goy. We became a Goy Gadol. The countenance of a person makes him unique. Chazal tell us, Ein partzufeyem shavos. No two people have exactly the same facial features. And even identical twins, although you and I can't tell the difference, but she, the mother, could tell the difference. So the partzuf of a person, his countenance, reflects on his unique personality, his unique identity. Vayhi sham l'goy gadol. This guy, this countenance of godless, of originality, of being different than all the other nations, that came to be in the Kor HaBarzel of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is considered, as Rashi says in Dvarim, as a melting, you know, they took the iron and the metals and they put it into this furnace and they removed all the impurities. That's called the Kor HaBarzel. And when they went down to Mitzrayim, there was a school called Kor HaBarzel of Mitzrayim, and there they became the great nation, the unique people, the original people, the Klal Yisrael as a Goy Gadol. And now the Rav asks a fundamental question. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Beis, for those who learned Daf Yomi, you may remember this Haggadah. The Gemara says on the Pasuk V'dizahav, at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, a mashal of a person who has a son, and he washes him, he bathes him, he anoints him with beautiful fragrance, he feeds him wonderful food, a banquet, mashkeu, and he puts a kiss, some sort of a pocketbook with money, I guess, around his neck. What does he do, the father, with his son? Moshivo al Pesach shel Zonos. V'mayasa ben v'lo yechta. And the Gemara uses this as a mashal for Golus Mitzrayim, that we were impacted by the atmosphere of Mitzrayim for 210 years, and therefore ultimately we sinned after Yitzis Mitzrayim at the Chet HaEgel. And this is the Gemara's way, in the name of Reb Chiya, being Malamid Tzchus on Klal Yisrael at the time of the Chet HaEgel. But isn't this a very odd kind of simile? To say that a Rachman, a father who has compassion on his son, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu has on Klal Yisrael, is going to place his son B'Pesach Shel Zonos? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? That doesn't sound like a compassionate father. So the Rav gives what I call a breakthrough answer to this question. A revolution of sorts. And he says, basically, take a look at Golus, starting from Mitzrayim, and all through Jewish history. Chazal teaches about four Malchios, and we go through Yavon, and Edom, and Paras, and Madai. And he says the following, that Mitzrayim, as the, let's say, the paradigm of Golus, is a very unique civilization. They had Osher, wealth, Chachma, wisdom, and even some sort of a moral code. Mitzrayim was known for its great civilization, Bechachamea v'chartumea. And this is indicated in a pasuk in Malachim Aleph Perek Hey. Vaterev Chachmas Shlomo Michachmas Kol Bnei Kedem Mikol Chachas Mitzrayim. That when the Torah wants to describe the great, incredible wisdom of Shlomo, it compares him to the wisdom of Mitzrayim, and he, Shlomo, supersedes the great wisdom of Mitzrayim. So we see clearly that this kingdom, this kingship, Malchus Mitzrayim, is considered a symbol of Chachma, of wisdom, of intelligence, perhaps even of technology, because they developed certain technologies that we don't really, it's lost. They developed the chariot, which was the great success in military campaigns. This was Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is outstanding in its Chochmah. Says Rav Soloveitchik, that's not just true of the exile of Mitzrayim, that the Jewish people go into exile in this great civilization of Mitzrayim. It's true for every single Golos. Klal Yisrael go into Bavel, it's the greatest civilization of its time. Yavon, the Greeks, Rome in Edom, all these are civilizations that surpass all the other nations on the face of the world contemporary to those nations. They are people who are full of Chachmah. They are full of wisdom. They have even their moral code. Even in my mind, I don't know if the Rav thought of this, I was thinking of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam of Germany. So the Rav Soloveitchik asks the following question. Why is this so? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu place us al Pesach Hazonos, Beis Hazonos? He puts us in the most glamorous, technologically advanced, intellectually sophisticated nations, one after the other, throughout our Golos. Why? So the Rav says something unbelievable. Hashem wanted to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Umi Goy Gadol, Asher Lo Chukim Mishpatim Tzadikim, Kechol HaTorah Zos Asher Anochi Nosein Lifneichem Hayom in Parshas Veschanon. God wants to give the Torah to a Goy Gadol who is outstanding in his statutes, in his laws, which are tzaddikim. Says the Rav, here's where the challenge is. A Jew lives amongst the Goyim. A thought crosses his mind. He asks himself, what is so special about the Jewish nation? Chachma b'goyim tamin. The goyim have chachma. They have chukim u'mishpatim. They have legal systems and judiciary. They have culture. They have morality. And that could be a question that crosses the mind of a Jew. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to bring the Jewish people into a golos of Chachma, of technological advancement. And God says, look at the people who are subjugating you. Look at those who, like the neo-Nazis today, are trying to destroy you as enemies. Look at the nation that is so advanced. You know, they say that the Germans in lenses and other areas were unbeatable. You should experience firsthand what is the culture of these Goyim. You are being brought into the Kura Barzel of Mitzrayim. You're going to learn something about the so-called culture of the Goyim. That like the Egyptians, who took the children, ripped them out of the hands of their mother, and put them into the walls to replace the bricks, as the Pasuk says, K'mais Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtem Lo Tasu. This is the true face of the Goyim. You think, wow, I'm so impressed by the Goyim. Look how advanced they are. The culture, the art, the engineering, the architecture, their general wisdom. Who am I? Why am I called Mi Goy Gadol Asher Lo? And I'm chosen Am I superior to the Goyim? Maybe I'm inferior to the Goyim. I don't have their technology. I don't know of any Colosseum or any Tower of Pisa that was built by the Jews. In fact, in art, okay, I won't go into this because I have a different take on this, but for whatever reason, the Jews were not great artists. And there are many explanations for that. So the Rav says that this is the great, on the one hand, boon, gift of Golus, but on the other hand, the great challenge of Golus. Look around, and with your piercing insight, go below the surface, and don't be impressed by all that you see on the outside. And here I get to the point in the Rav's presentation where I get very emotional. If you open up to Shmos Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayehi bayomim ahem, Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze Elechav, Vayar Ish Mitzri, Make Ish Ivri, Me'achav. Moshe sees an Ish Mitzri who's beating up a Hebrew, one of Moshe's brothers. Vayifen Kovacho, Vayar Kien Ish, Vayaches HaMitzri, Vayatmineu Bachol. I can't hear you. If you can speak a little louder. So the Rav asks, why does the pasuk begin by describing the Mitzri as an Ish Mitzri? Afterwards, it says Vayach es a Mitzri. So what is the name of this Mitzri? We don't know his name, but you describe him as an Ish Mitzri. But then later on, when Moshe hits the Mitzri, he kills him, it's Vayachas HaMitzri, without the word Ish. Says the Rav. Moshe Rabbeinu comes out of the palace of Paro. And he sees an Ish Mitzri. The word Ish in Tanakh, according to our Chazal, is an Ish Chashuv. Ish always indicates a very important man. That's who Moshe sees in front of his eyes. He probably saw an Egyptian who was probably a man of culture, a man of ethics. He probably wore the whole uniform. Maybe he was 6'5", I don't know, that's just my addition. He looks like an Adam Chashuv. That's what you see projected, the image of this Ish Mitzri. And he sees him hitting a Jew. Vayifen Kovacho. Moshe Rabbeinu goes close to this Mitzri. And he looks him in the eyes. Here and there. And Vayar, and he realizes, Ki Ein Ish. Azoy Shteit in Pasuk, Vayar Ki Ein Ish. He realizes that this Mitzri is not an Ish. He's not a human being. He's an animal with two legs who destroys human beings. Anyone who stands in his way, he will hit him, he will destroy him. This is Vayar Ki Ein Ish. When Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that this man is not an Ish at all, that's Vayach Es HaMitzri, and the word Ish is deliberately omitted. This, my friends, is a secret in this parasha that reveals something about the nature of Golus, not only in Mitzrayim, but all the Golios that the Jewish people have to experience. Hashem is going to set us up al Pesach Beis HaZonos. He's going to take us in Golus, in exile, into the most sophisticated, the most advanced technologies. And it's very alluring. It looks like the neon lights. But then we realize the low, kilkul, tiyuv, the abomination of these nations who are excluded from Torah mitzvahs. They have no Torah mitzvahs. They have a different axiological set of morals. This is the Kor HaBarzel of Mitzrayim. This is the difficult experience of Mitzrayim to purify us. This is the purpose of Golus. that we should begin to appreciate what Torah could give to us and how it could transform us into a Goy Gadol. Vayhi Sham, there in Golus, we emerged as a Goy Gadol, to appreciate that in all truth, even if we lack in a certain 6'5" uniformed architectural genius, nevertheless, we are the Goy Gadol, Asher Lo Chukim Tzadikim, Mishpatim Tzadikim, Kekol HaTorah Zos. What differentiates us from the nations of the world, our uniqueness, we are Gadol. Gadol means we're original. We sing over and over, Hivtilanu Min HaToim, God, you've separated us from the nations. And that means that we are original, we are unique. And now, I just want to know, is anybody want to ask questions? And also, is there anyone here in the audience who has Hare Kedem? And would like me to mention the page number that I'm up to? Vanitzak el Hashem, k'mo shenemar v'yihi b'yom harab mahem. The Rav wants to suggest an amazing interpretation of the Haggadah. And he says the following. It's one of my favorite pieces as well, amongst the probably 50 pieces here. Maybe more, I don't know, I didn't count them. He says that when we learn about Golus Mitzrayim, we are learning about all the Golios of all the generations. And that is implicit in this pasuk, Vayehi Bayomim Harabim Mahem Vayeanchu. And the people sighed, and they let out a cry. And what this means, according to Chazal, is at that moment in time they despaired. They were Messiahish from the Gula. And Dafka, at that moment that they were Messiahish from the Gula, they despaired, that's when the Gula comes. And that's halacha for all generations. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Perek HaChelek, Ein ben David ba, ashi yisyashu min ha-ge'ula. And the Gemara quotes Psukim to prove that when we get to that low point, the point of no return, we're about to give up on ge'ula, no, it's not happening. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, afal pisha yismamea, he brings the ge'ula. However, we have halacha with regard to Geulas Mitzrayim and Sipur Mitzrayim, of Maskel Begnus u'Mesayim B'Shvach. What is Maskel Begnus? Arami Oved Avi. That's the Gnus. And Rashi, tucked away in the most unsuspecting places, in his commentary on Mesechtes Sota, on Daf Lamed Beis, Rashi says, Kegon Arami Oved Avi, Hainu Gnuso, Shemisvadim Shaviem Lavan Arami Oyerosha. Unbelievable. Lavan is in fact one of our ancestors, the father of Rachel and Leah. And we recite Vidui, Rashi says. That's Maskil Begnus, that we have to recite Vidui. Says Rav Soloveitchik, according to Rashi, Sipur Agnus is Vidui of Tshuva. And what does that mean? Whenever there's Geula, there has to be Tshuva. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Ein Yisrael Nigolim El B'Tshuva. If Gnus, according to Rashi, is identical with Vidui of Tshuva, then this Halach of Maskel B'Gnus is really Halach in Tshuva. Maskel B'Gnus is a Vidui that introduces Tshuva. And again, it's halacha l'doros, that in all generations, the ge'ula depends upon tshuva. And therefore, if we want to bring about the ge'ula, like the Lubavitchers say, we want Mashiach now, then the first thing we have to do is engage in vidui. And the Rav has a beautiful proof from Rabbeinu Bechai. On the pasuk v'tal shavasam el elokim min avodah, and they cried out from the overwhelming burden of the work, Rashi, Rabbeinu Bechai says the following, V'efshar ki b'parsha hi, in this parsha is remez ligulasenu asida, she'i tluya b'tshuva, Ki kein begulas Mitzrayim chazur b'tshuva. Rabbeinu Bechai says that in this pasuk, Vatal Shavasam, there's a remez to the tshuva of Klal Yisrael. And the only reason we were zoche to Gulas Mitzrayim, says Rabbeinu Bechai, is because Chazur B'tshuva. We see clearly from Rabbeinu Bechai that just like in the Golus of Mitzrayim, which came about because of Chet, we don't know exactly which Chet, maybe Mechiras Yosef, with very many different interpretations, the Geula had to come through tshuva. And that's how Rabbeinu Bechai learns this derivation, that the vidui is mitchila ovdei avodah zara hayu avoseinu. That's vidui. That's vidui on the chait of avodah zara. And Geulas Mitzrayim is brought about as a result of that vidui, as a result of that tshuva, because ein Yisrael negolam el b'tshuva. And no doubt Rabbeinu Bechai would add that Bnei Yisrael took the Korban Pesach, they shechted the tfleh. The tfleh was the symbolic representation of the idols of Mitzrayim. That's also part of the tshuva of Klal Yisrael and Ein Yisrael Nigolim b'tshuva. So the chiyuv Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, according to this, is not just the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but also what brought about Yetzias Mitzrayim. What was the cause, ultimately, that gave us the merit for the Geulah Mitzrayim? How are we zochet to be Geulim? And the answer is Maskel Begnus. That we begin with a vidui and tshuva. And through that tshuva, we were zochet to Geulah. That's what it says in Rabbeinu Bechai. And, you know, I'm tempted to think that we can sort of integrate these two different pieces of the Rav Zichron Levracha and integrate them into one whole. Because first of all, we have to know that Golus is an amazing challenge for the Jewish people to realize that they are a Goy Gadol. And not to be fooled by Chitzonius, by the surface level and the, what I call the neon lights, you know, of the advanced cultures. And once we realize that we are a Goy Gadol, that we are a Gadol, we are unique, we're not going to learn, we're not going to get there, stoop down to the low level of the nations, of these adversaries that subjugate us, at that point we're ready to do tshuva, and we're ready to bring about the Geula. And one final comment, for those who were with me earlier in the week, we mentioned the name of Shnei Kotla, that the mitzvah ultimately is not just Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Sipur HaGeula. And if we want to expand the mitzvah of Sipur to include the entire Geula, again, the Beis Halevi speaks about the mitzvah of tshuva called Dichvin Yesev Yecha. We could add to the list the mitzvah of tshuva. Because if we want to expand the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to include all of the Geula, we have to do tshuva, because Ein Yisrael Nigolim B'tshuva Yiratzon, we should be Zocheh. Imirz Hashem, especially in these trying times, to do tshuva. And as we enter today into the month of Geula, we pray to Hashem that He allow us the fortitude to appreciate our special status, our unique role as the Goy Gadol that started in the Kura Barzel of Mitzrayim, which will always bring about the Geula by terminating with tshuva. And on the night of Pesach, we're going to speak about the tshuva by reciting Maschil Bignus. That'll bring about a vidui of tshuva and, in Yirtzeh Hashem, the ultimate Geula. Kein Yiratzon. Amen.